This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11:02 in the greatest city in the world. It's Alan Han. Bart Scott off today. So we go Han Solo for you today. A little buffet action right out of the gate. 800-919-3776 is the number. And of course, you can get us on social media at Bart and Han on Twitter, Instagram, and any other place that you
Snap
might.
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever you got on social media. But it's just you and me and you today. Bar a little busy, so we'll give him the day. We got Jay Williams coming up at noon, like always. Jets guest a little bit later on in this hour as well. Talk to a Jets player, see what the hell's going on in that locker room at 0-6. But we got a lot to talk about because we have a World Series beginning tonight. The Rays and the Dodgers. Baseball's a radio sport. Can I just be honest? It's a radio sport. Unless Michael Kay's calling a Yankees game, it's a radio sport. Okay? I mean, come on. When your team's not playing in the World Series, are you watching the World Series? You're watching a Super Bowl. You know, you'll watch an NBA Finals because it's a star-driven league. You might even watch the Stanley Cup Finals because it's the damn cup, man. But where are we at with the World Series at this point? Like, as a Yankees fan, I can't stomach watching the Rays. You can't. You know, and then the Dodgers are the Dodgers. I mean, it's like they're basically the other version of Yankees that spend a ton of money, and it's been a while for them, a long, long time. They are the favorites to win this thing, plus 220. And so you imagine that this is going to be their year. So I'll tell you what, I'll probably put it on when it's a clinching game.
Or asking but am I, for a piece of metal back.
Yeah, that's what they call the trophy, piece of metal. Thanks, Rob. I mean, that's the value of your championship, piece of metal. But I just like, are you watching the World Series? You're a diehard baseball fan. Of course you are. You're engaged. You love your sport. 100%. The first sport I ever loved was baseball. First sport I ever loved was baseball. I used to score games like a kid when I was a kid. I watched it. I absorbed it. I loved it. Loved watching everything. And the game's not the same. I'm the old man, you know, screaming at a cloud. Whatever you want to say, get off my lawn. You want to give me the boomer thing? Go ahead and give me the boomer thing. It's not the game I watch. It's not my game anymore. It's not. I can't help it, but that's just how it is. You can say the same thing about the NBA. Nah, shut up. You can say the same thing about the NBA. Say the same thing. That's not the game anymore. Everything's now just spread, high screen roll, three-pointers, layups or dunks. Nobody plays any defense. I get it. I'm the same way. It's hard to watch. But baseball, it's just, you've got now, I said this yesterday, it's still an amazing stat. The Dodgers this year led the majors in home runs. When was the last time a team that led the majors in home runs, and by the way, you know that right now, the analytics people will tell you, it ain't about base hits, it ain't about getting on base, it's not about the action on the base paths, no. Don't worry about the shift. Hit over the shift. It's all about home runs and strikeouts. Lots of strikeouts, that's okay because we'll get some power and you hit home runs and that's good. When was the last time the team that led the majors in home runs made the World Series? Not won it, made it. I said it yesterday, so if you're listening, you would know. At Barton Hunt, tell me. You know what? I'll tell you anyway. The 09 Yankees. 11 years. So you're telling me that in the last decade, we've learned that hitting home runs, hitting over the shift, not getting on base, not wasting your time with base hits and bunts into the, you know, whatever it is, stealing bases, all that stuff. The action that makes baseball fun to watch. The last decade told us that's not how you play the game anymore. But the entire decade went by, and not a single team that led the majors in home runs made the World Series, let alone reach it. And you're going to continue to tell me that this is the way to play the game now. This is the right way to play. I don't know. I don't agree. Boring. It's boring. No fun. That's where you're at. I'll probably watch if I know the Dodgers are going to clinch. If I hear the Rays are going to clinch, I'm definitely not watching. But that's just preference because I don't like that team. Period. That's just how it is. But baseball's a game to listen to on the radio. Unfortunately, we have it right here on 98.7 ESPN. Full coverage. So this is where you need to be. Put it on, go in the garage, work on the car, you get a project. I got a dining room table I want to sand down, refinish it, that kind of stuff. Put it on the background. Now you hear it, you're listening, a little something in the background, it's nice. So just turn on 98.7 tonight and listen to the game and get some stuff done instead of sitting there for 3 hours watching a guy throw to a guy and another guy step in and step out and step in and step out and choose when he wants to swing and everybody else just stands there watching with nobody in the crowd. Or a handful of people, I should say. That's what they'll get tonight. So that's baseball. That's what you got tonight. You got a World Series. Now, I don't mean to dump on it, but that's the sport right now. That's what it is. That's what it is. And you had somebody like me who was passionate about your sport, and you lost me. I'm only passionate now when my team's in it. You've made me a regional fan. Congratulations. And that's on you. Don't put it on me. That's on you. Meanwhile, the NFL is its own monster, which dominates ratings all the time. What happened last night, Monday Night Football? The Cowboys got completely embarrassed. They've got skill all over the place, and they don't have their starting quarterback, but Andy Dalton is not a scrub. He sure looked like one, though. They looked really bad, and they got blown out by the Cardinals. Their defense, not good. Their offense couldn't get anything done. And now what you have is this bizarre situation with Dallas Cowboys leading the division at 2-4. And the more incredible thing is they're not even – this is the football power index that ESPN has, where they use a lot of stats and analytics and everything else to forecast what the season's going to be. They're not even the team with the best percentage to win the damn division. And oh, by the way, I won't even tell you the team. I'm just going to tell you that there's a team that is projected to get the most wins out of the four NFC East teams. And the most wins they're projected to get is 6.1. That's a 6-10 record to win the division. And that would be the Eagles. They have a 54% probability to win the division, and their win projection is 6.1. So you're telling me that the NFC East is going to have a team that likely could be 6-10 and win the division, which would be an embarrassment to the league. Not that the league cares, but it kind of makes you think about format now, right? Because we all made a big deal in 2010 about the Seahawks going 7-9 and winning that division. And then, of course, having a home game on top of it where New Orleans was 11-5. Everybody knows this story. New Orleans had a great season. They had to go all the way to Seattle, and then they lose in that game. Seattle moves on to division series, then they lose. They lost to the Bears. But the fact that they were 7-9 and won the division, everybody made a big deal. But the first time in a non-strike season that a team made the playoffs with a losing record. And then a couple of years later, Carolina did it in the NFC South at 7-8-1. They had that stupid tie. A bunch of teams have gone 8-8 and won their division, or 8-8 and made the playoffs. That happens. 8-8, at least you're 500. 7-9. You're a losing team, and you win your division, and you get a home bid in the obviously in the wild card round. You get a home bid.
Well, there it is.
Did he really just say?
Major disappointment.
Embarrassing. But could you imagine a scenario, and you can because it's actually real now, that we're 6 weeks going into week seven, where the combined winning percentage in one division is under 300. Like, think about that. You're under 300. You've got teams that everybody's got one win, and Dallas has two. They're all going to start playing each other now, and that's what kind of makes right now pretty interesting. You've got the Giants and the Eagles Thursday night. Short week for both teams, obviously. And it's going to be, I mean, you think about this game now all of a sudden. And I'm not even, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to try to convince you that the Giants can pull off some miracle. They're not ready. We know this. They're not ready. I like what Joe Judge is doing, but I'm not going to go that far and talk about how, the Giants quit the division. Stop it. The Giants are projected to win less than four games this season. Okay, that's so no, there's not a lot of expectations about them, and that's fine. All you want to know is by the end of the year that they're trending up, they're showing you something, that Joe Judge is showing you something. That's great. But this game on Thursday, if you're the Eagles, this game's everything. Like, these games, you play the Eagles play the Giants twice in the next 3 weeks, and the Cowboys in between. The Eagles could basically turn their season around and take a stranglehold on a division that nobody seems to want to win, and then finish the year off like they did last year. They kind of made a push late last year after a bad start. They're doing it again this year. But now here comes the caveat that I thought was the most amazing thing. When you look at the Eagles and where they are right now, you have to ask yourself, do they want to win? They're in a weird place. The trade deadline's November 3rd. They're projected next year to be over the cap by almost, $69 million? They've got a lot of decisions to make. And if they wanted to, they could probably move a bunch of guys that you know, by the trade deadline. Like, they might be looking to just dump off some players here. They've got to figure it out. I mean, you've got DeSean Jackson, $11 million. Alshon Jeffery at $18 million. You've got, you know, they've got issues that they've got to figure out. And so are they looking to sell or buy? They need a linebacker. I mean, they're looking to buy or sell before the trade deadline because the division's there to be had for them. The next 3 weeks can change everything for them. This division is so bizarre right now. Who wants to win? Washington doesn't want to win. You know what Washington wants? Washington wants the Jets to win because then Washington has a chance to get their quarterback of the future. All of a sudden, they become part of the conversation of a team that could be all in on Trevor Lawrence. If anybody's rooting for the Jets to win, it's Washington at this point. Because there's no ambition for them to win. I know what Rivera said. He went for two against the Giants because for him, he's thinking, oh yeah, I got to teach you how to win. So you got to play to win, to learn how to win. That is absolute crap. You know what that is? That's code for, yeah, we didn't want to waste our time with overtime. Let's get out of here with the L. It'll be better for us. Builds character. It also gives us a better chance to get the quarterback because clearly he doesn't 100% believe in Dwayne Haskins. Kyle Allen is not the answer long term. And then, of course, Alex Smith's a great story. But no one's expecting Alex Smith at his age and what he's been through to go back to being a starting quarterback again. Washington is in the market for a quarterback, and they're going to be looking to win that draft and get the number one pick. And the only way to do it is to be worse than the Jets. And how could you possibly be worse than the Jets? That's what's like. Thursday's game is mind-boggling. Like, if you're Joe Judge, you're thinking to yourself, what do the Eagles really want? Because they are better than you. They are. When they get their heads right and they do, like, they're better. Their games this year have been weird. I mean, that tie with the Bengals out of the gate, yeah, this is just one of those week one, we're not really ready for the season type games. Maybe took them too lightly. They beat the 49ers, which might not look too impressive like to some people because you consider the 49ers got their wins over the Jets and Giants. But they just had a good win this last week over the Rams. They lose to Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, which everybody does that. Pittsburgh's beaten everybody. So how do you really make a big deal about that game? Then the Baltimore game, you come back 22 points in the fourth quarter, and you have a chance. You lose by two. You go for two. I mean, it's there against the Ravens. You do push back against them. So the Eagles haven't been completely chumped this year. They just have had some issues. But these next 3 weeks, you got the Giants twice, and then the Cowboys in between. You know, you could look at it the other way. Well, the Giants have the Eagles twice. The Eagles are the team in this division. If anybody is going to win this division, your money goes on the Eagles. Your money has to go on the Eagles. But can they get to seven wins? Six wins could win this division. In fact, that's what it's projected to do. That's just bizarre. And that's what starts off your week 7 in the NFL. And that, of course, will be Thursday night on Thursday Night Football. Now, on the Jets side of things, a couple of things. Number one, there's one trade request out there right now that is going to be an interesting one. This was a name that was tied to the Jets in the offseason. I don't think there's reason to make a move now. But you remember the first-round pick, John Ross, the guy who was at the 4.2 speed in the combine? Wide receiver. He's kind of small, about 5'11", but just a burner. He was taken ninth overall in 2017 by Cincinnati. And he just, between injuries and just really hasn't been consistent in and out of the lineup, he asked for a trade. Now, Cincinnati reportedly was trying to trade him in the offseason. Nothing really happened there. He's just not getting his opportunity. And you have a real quarterback, and this Burrow can play. And they just don't have a reason to use him. Is it worth it to the Jets because they just don't have enough weapons to make a move there if you can get him for relative cheap? Because Cincinnati didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so he's pretty much 1 year and he's done. John Ross is a burner. You know, you add him to some speed. You hope to get Mims back in the next couple of weeks, another guy that's supposed to be fast, but you haven't seen what he can be yet. And obviously, you know, Bashard Perriman's pretty fast too. But I just think the Jets need as many weapons as they can get. Do you look at this again? Do you give it a chance? Of course, depending on what it takes. So that's something to keep an eye on. But another thing that caught my attention, again, 800-919-3776, is, we'll get the calls lining up here in a minute. I'll grab them in a minute. Is a report, let me call it up here right now, that I found to be very interesting from Dan Graziano. And he put up a latest buzz on NFL coaching and front office jobs on ESPN.com. And he said something that, if you're a Jets fan, take a listen. Graziano says, someone involved in the shaky Adam Gase Jets marriage says his job has not been considered a week-to-week thing internally. That might not matter as change seems inevitable, but it could happen later than many expect. This is for all the people out there that are like, Gase should be fired today. Gase shouldn't coach another week. You know, why is he still our coach? All that stuff, right? And Gase is sitting there trying to explain himself and what he's trying to do. And I'll play you something in a minute that he said, a little bit of shade at Greg Williams. But Graziano goes on to say, one league executive pointed out that the Jets might even be better off letting Gase finish out the misery over 16 games for a few reasons. One, this isn't a roster that will ignite a winning streak anyway. A mini tank might aid quarterback positioning, obviously. Also said a natural interim option would be Greg Williams, whose relationship with the current staff appears tenuous. You know, Greg Williams obviously was saying what he was saying on Friday and causing some disruption inside. So the Jets are hoping to show some type of an offense once you get Mims back, with Sam Darnold coming back from the shoulder, Bashard Perriman now healthy playing as well. But there is not really a lot of belief that anything's going to change here as the Jets get healthy on offense, because it just looks like nobody's safe is absolutely right. So it seems like the inevitable is going to happen, but all of you who are waiting for an Adam Gase to be fired during the season type scenario, Graziano's here to tell you, like a lot of us believe, it's probably not going to happen. So settle in with this team and either just shut down until the season's over, or watch the young players hoping to see something that makes you believe that no matter who's coaching next year, the cupboard isn't as bare as it seems at 0-6. Now listen to this from Gase, who talked about what he saw in yet another ugly loss, which was this Sunday against the Dolphins. And listen to the very first thing he says too. A little bit of shade here. Listen.
We started out rough on defense, but you know, when you go look at it as a whole, the way that really after that third touchdown, how our guys played, that's something we definitely need to build off of.
You heard that at the beginning, right? Start off slow on defense. A little shot at Greg Williams. Now, obviously, the defense got a lot better in the second half for the Jets, but it didn't matter because they couldn't score at all. But the defense wasn't very good against Fitzpatrick early on in that game. And then in the second half, you saw some plays from the defense. They did adjust, but offensively, they've been a disaster. But it is funny how it was the first thing that he would point out, right? The first thing he points out is that, hey, the defense didn't look good either. Listen, man. Focus on your offense. Plenty there to keep you busy. 800-919-3776 is the number. So coming up also, as I mentioned, so we had some Monday night games and the Chiefs and the Bills. The Bills, they're still a very good team. The Jets have to play the Bills this week after getting smoked in week one against them. Josh Allen not happy with his performance of late, saying he's got to be better. So you're curious to see what kind of performance you're going to get out of him against the Jets on Sunday. What a tale of two teams that at one time were both rebuilding at the same time, both drafted a quarterback in the same quarterback draft, and one way ahead of the other, mainly because, well, let's be honest, they built it properly at the line of scrimmage. They got skill, and the quarterback has been developed well. Head coach knows what he's doing. Coordinators know what they're doing. That defense is fantastic. The Bills did it right when they did their rebuild. The Jets, they're still rebuilding. Getting some tweets in response to my take on the World Series. Now, baseball has become regional. It is. I mean, I'm being honest. I love the sport. I grew up with the sport. I loved it. Loved baseball. And I just more and more just got away from it because it's not a game that it doesn't draw me in anymore. It's kind of boring. Not like it never used to be that way. It is now. And I got one response here, which is a typical take from an NBA and Yankee guy, front runner who only watches when his team's in the playoffs. Yeah, that's the meaning of regional sport. But then he has to take shots at the Knicks. Knicks season's over before it starts every year, but I still watch in April like a jackass. That's what real fans do.
I wish you loved the sport like I do.
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying. Wish you loved the sport like I do. All right, Andy Reid on Lev Bell in a moment here, but we're bringing our Jets guest, and that is Matthias Farley, safety for the Jets right now. And Matthias, thanks for giving us a few minutes here. So is Matthias Matthias? Matthias, I think, is probably the way I should
Matthias,
be saying it, right?
Yeah,
my bad. I apologize.
Matthias, yeah.
You know what it is?
All good.
I covered hockey for many years, and there were a lot of Swedes, and they would say Matthias. So I'm just stuck on that for some reason.
Yeah.
So my bad. Let me ask you.
Yeah,
like what, you know, and I feel like this is, it's not a loaded question because it's a real curiosity. Fans react, fans are emotional, fans are angry, fans go through a lot of stuff. But an 0-6 locker room has got to be an interesting place. It's got to be. I mean, what is, just take us in there. Like, what is the room like? What are conversations like? Are guys just, are heads down? Is there no eye contact? Or is it different? Because people on the outside, especially ex-NFL players, Bart has said this too, like you need leaders to start standing up, speaking up, saying more things, not letting guys walk around with their heads down. What's going on in that locker room right now?
Well, I think it's just that, Alan. I think, you know, obviously the season has not gone the way we expected or anticipated or have worked for it to go. But the locker room is really coming together. You know, we had a similar start to last year and guys really started to gel and come together. We finished the season really strong, and that's really happening in our locker room on a day-in and day-out basis. I think, you know, with all the COVID protocol, that we've moved the lockers around, so you're by different guys. So the team is really getting to learn about each other outside of our position rooms, and I think that's something that's going to be really beneficial for us moving forward.
You mentioned COVID. Everybody's had to deal with this in the league, but we are seeing like various teams look like a lot of times where it's not enough practice time. We heard the Patriots talk about that. Other teams are also just discussing how the first couple of weeks of the season feels like preseason because it's the first live action you're actually getting other than playing against your own teammates. How much of that did you feel? I mean, you've been in the league enough now. How much of that did you feel? Not having a preseason at all and then jumping right in week one, having to play competitive games against another team that you haven't been really prepared for.
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment. You know, I think, you know, growing up playing the game, you know, whether you're in high school or college, you know, you have a jamboree, you have live scrimmages, you have basically live game reps before the season gets kicked off. So I think that's, you know, definitely something to take in consideration. At the end of the day, it comes down to us executing and taking ownership of, you know, the start we've had and doing everything we can to make sure that we're moving up and forward, not dwelling on the start of the season.
Jet safety Matthias Farley joins us right now on the show. And so one thing that did happen after the game this past week is that one of the team captains, Steve McClendon, was traded. Did that come as a shock in the room? What kind of impact does it have to lose a captain, a leader?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I can't say enough about Steve and his leadership in the time that I've been here. It's my second year here, and Steve is really one of those guys that everybody looks to. I think he has an infectious personality. He's obviously been around for a long time in this league, so he imparted so much wisdom, and we're all grateful for that. At the end of the day, the NFL is a business, you know, and things like this happen. It happens all the time, and it's just one of those things that I think it's eye-opening for a lot of young guys who maybe haven't seen, you know, a midseason trade necessarily, but
at the end of the day, we are very grateful for Steve and everything he did for us and the wisdom he's given us, and, you know, obviously wish him nothing but the absolute best going to Tampa.
You say that. It's eye-opening. I know last, I think it was after the game, Avery Williamson was asked, or even maybe before the game, Avery Williamson was asked, like, what does a Le'Veon Bell trade say to the room? And he said that no one's safe. You know, that you pretty much realize that your performance matters. I mean, is that, when you say it's an eye-opener, is that sort of what it does in the room? Like, okay, you know, it's you know, you got to perform or you might be out of here.
I mean, absolutely. Being in the NFL, there's always that reality, Alan, you know, that no one is safe at the end of the day. Anybody can get cut. Anybody can get traded at any point. I think we try to not think about it maybe as much because it's ever present. But at the end of the day, when something like that happens, it's just that reality check that, you know, this is a game we're all very grateful and fortunate to get to play, but it is a business as well. And, you know, in any business, the organization is going to do what they see is best or, you know, at the end of the day. So as players, if you haven't seen that as a young guy, I mean, if you're in the league for more than 6 months, you're going to see it and have, you know, a grasp of it. But I think, especially for just the rookies, you know, they haven't seen even what a normal season, preseason, OTA looks like. So it's definitely eye-opening for some of the younger guys for sure.
Now, there was some news made, again, before the game with Greg Williams talking to the media and talking about how some of the issues that you're having on the defensive side of the ball are not really all just the defense. It's, you know, and I think that's insinuating a lot of times it's field position, what you guys are putting, you know, the pressure you're put under, that the offense isn't getting a lot done. Therefore, the defense has to keep getting back out there on the field. That can suggest there's some finger pointing going on in the locker room. I remember a year with the Jets a bunch of years ago where a defensive player and offensive player, I believe it was Sheldon Richardson and Brandon Marshall one time were getting at it in the locker room because one was saying the other one wasn't holding up their end of the bargain. Is any of that going on in the locker room?
No, there's not. You know, at the end of the day, we have to play complementary football. That's offense, defense, special teams. I don't think you could have any unit, you know, offense, defense, or special teams look at ourselves in the eye over the course of this year and say that, you know, we've played the potential that our group can play to and should be playing to. So there's not finger pointing. Everyone just has the mindset of getting better, improving every day. And we have to play complementary football at the end of the day. You know, special teams can't miss out on opportunities to swing the field, position battle. And then, you know, we got to execute offensively and defensively as well.
All right, there was a little bit of breaking news as we're talking right here, not involving your team, but a team that you had just played. You just played the Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick was a starter, but at the end of that game, Tua Tagovailoa got into the game for his first experience, and now the Dolphins are naming him their starter now after the bye week. I know you guys didn't see a ton, really, of Tua. It was just at that last series, but any reaction at all to the Dolphins going to making that move?
I mean, it's not really pertaining to us and how. So, you know, obviously he was a great college athlete, had a great college career, and, you know, I'm sure they're excited about it, but, you know, he's not in our building. So I wish him nothing but the absolute best, as I do anybody. But, you know, I'm sure
you guys have your
best interest for their organization. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have plenty to focus on at this point. You don't think you'll see them until after the bye now at this point, right? So it won't be a factor. At least it won't be on your radar until then. All right. I can't let you go without at least having some fun to talk about. So as a safety, seeing Marcus May make the interception, and basically they're calling it, you know, the butt interception or whatever they want to call it, after the Jets have gone through butt fumbles and everything else. I mean, we've seen David Tyree catch a football on his helmet and help win a Super Bowl. This one's a little bit different. This is the ability to actually use, like, your glutes to hang on to the football. How much fun do you guys at least have with him in that moment to see a play like that?
Well, I mean, I told him we played Pittsburgh last year, not to backtrack, Alan, but we played Pittsburgh last year, and he had an amazing pass breakup at the end of the game, kind of similar situation, deep ball. Knocked it out the last second. I said, Marcus, that's the greatest play I've ever seen in real life, you know, live. And then after this play, you know, the ball went up in the air. Marcus is one of those guys, when the ball's in the air, he really has to go get it mentality. I think that's evident. So for him to come down with that ball in that situation, you know, it just speaks to the athlete he is. It's literally the greatest play I've ever seen, you know, front row for sure. And definitely just is a testament to his athletic ability, but also, you know, at that point in the game, he'd still be going after it like that. Nothing but the utmost respect for him.
Have you had that in film room yet? Have you seen that a few times in film room yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all got the iPad after the game. You can watch the game on the plane on the ride home or, you know, when you get home, whatever the case may be. And, you know, I don't think anybody didn't go back and rewind that several times. It's just crazy how it happened, you know, right. To be able to pin it as you're hitting the ground. It doesn't right. come out. You have one arm behind your back. I mean, it's pretty special right there.
That's why we do squats.
that's why we do squats. If you skip leg day, it might not have happened. You know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. No question about it. Matthias, I appreciate a few minutes here. Hang in there. Good luck the rest of the season. Absolutely. All the best.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. Take care.
You got it. All right, Matthias Farley. Had to have a little fun with that. Yeah, we didn't really spend a lot of time. What would you call that play? Like, I wouldn't want to call it, like, you know, the butt pick, because that gets a little dicey. You know, that's one of those things where you say that.
Phrasing?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. You start wondering. I don't know if I want to keep repeating that. But at least it's a pretty amazing play in the midst of, obviously, what has been, you know, not a lot of highlights for the Jets. But it's interesting. Out of Miami, that they're going with Tua, and that's it for Fitzy. And I mean, you know, it's time probably, right? If you think about it, they're 3-3. They're very competitive right now, and you know, who knows what the Patriots are going to become? But obviously, that you know what the Patriots are record wise is not really what you expect them. And Buffalo that's a good team, and they should be the class of the division. But we shall see. But they're building something in Miami. And Brian Flores, and it started last year, and we talked about it. By the end of last year, Brian Flores and that Miami team, and the Jets saw them. That was a tough team. They played hard. Were they great? No. But they played hard. And you kind of saw that it was getting somewhere. It was trending towards something. And I'm telling you, if you're the Giants and you're Joe Judge, now, obviously, Flores is another Belichick guy. This is what you want, is by the end of this year, the Giants become what the Dolphins were towards the end of last year. That team that you didn't want to play against them, because they came at you. They might not win, but as Barr would say, they scrape you up a little bit. And you feel it. And that's what I think Joe Judge hopes the Giants can be. Now, can the Giants do anything this year? You don't expect it. Even though the division is what it is, it's crap. It's garbage. No one can win. But you're just not expecting the Giants to be good enough, even in this bad division, to win it. What you want, though, is to see it trend up. Get better and better each week. And then by the end of the year, people say, I'll tell you what, the Giants might not have a lot of wins, but they got my respect. Like, they're heading in the right direction with a couple of moves here and there. Now, we'll get them and be the guy to do it. A couple of moves here and there. The Giants can be that team, like with the Dolphins starting to look like now. Pretty exciting team going forward. Before I get to Andy Reid and a couple of calls, I never really, like, it's been a while. Like, I've kind of learned, like, the whole Twitter thing is just, Twitter is to be read and not really, you don't really reply. You know what I mean? Like, you just put up some stuff and you make a couple of comments. But for the most part, it's like to dive into the murky waters of replies and comments is sort of just, it's not worth it sometimes. But there's certain people that just need, you know, they just need a fresh one. And so we got one today, everybody. Anybody want to join in on this, please? At Will Pons Must Sell, which is obviously a very unfortunate now, outdated Twitter handle. Just very, very upset that I wasn't excited about the World Series, because I'm not. It's regional, and I'm regional. I'm a Yankees fan. The last World Series I watched closely was when the Cubs and Indians were playing, because one of them was going to end a streak, and that was interesting to me. Before that, it was the Mets, because it's a New York team, that matters to me. But if it's not going to be the Yankees or Mets, and it's not going to be a compelling matchup, can't really get into it. Honestly, just can't. I mean, I got to admit, I did watch the Nationals and the Astros last year because I wanted to see the Astros lose. You know, little things like that. Like, that's sort of what it's about. But this is not one. The Rays are a team that just annoys me more than anything. I'm not excited about the Rays. There's nothing fun about watching a parade of nameless, faceless relievers going through the game. There's nothing fun about that. Sorry. Dodgers are interesting. They have stars. It's interesting. But I'll watch if they're about to clinch. I'm just being honest. And you're going to say, I don't hate it. It's not my game anymore. It's not the game that I loved when I grew up. It's not fun. There's not a guy. I love Ricky Henderson. I love Vince Coleman. When guys went on first base and the pitcher was all triggered because he had no idea when the guy was about to take second, that the lead was there and he's dancing around, he's messing with your head. Yeah, that was fun. That kind of stuff is fun. strikeouts are nothing, home runs are nothing, that ain't fun. So that's the point. But he's getting all upset, so I just replied, because he brought up the Knicks for some reason. Like, what does that mean, anything? And he's like, well, that I don't understand how it is to be a loyal fan. I'm unfamiliar with the concept of sticking with a team in a losing season.
Well, there it is.
Diehard fan.
Did they just say, did he really just say?
Major disappointment.
Yeah, I don't understand what it's like to stick with a team. Falling from six to eight, so that's just a kick in the crotch. Yeah, just that. All right, there's that. There's that, and then there's the fact that I'm a freaking Jets fan. All right, if I have to do it, like you could say, well, you paid to do the Knick thing. Okay, fine. I'm not paid to do the Jets thing and I do it. I watched Josh Allen play Wyoming football on Saturday nights like an idiot for an entire season. Who the hell watches Wyoming football? Who? Only their parents watch. I'm watching that because I think he could be the Jets quarterback and I need to know everything about him. But I don't understand the concept, though, of being a diehard fan. Then, of course, he said, neglecting baseball, football, and hockey when you have a talk show is a bad look. Everybody, join in this, please. Please.
Are you kidding me? Think about what you're saying.
At Will Pons Must Sell. Attack. Because this is insane. Do I not talk football? We talk football all the time. We love football. I love football. It's the best. I brought football back. And hockey? If it's not, if not for myself, Don LaGreca, and Rick DiPietro, would hockey ever be uttered on these airwaves? Ever. But it's all right. We neglect all these things, and all I ever do is talk Knicks. Love it. By the way, I'm loving the suggestions for the interception that Marcus May made with his butt. We have the buttception. Alec, well done. Matthew says the glute grab. Brian goes with the butt grab, which, phrasing. I mean, that's one that, you know, again, these days, you don't want to just say that. So it's, anyways, that much is fun. Quickly, take a listen to Andy Reid when he was asked about Le'Veon Bell, who didn't play last night, but he did use Bart's phrase saying that he can't wait to join his new team. And here's Andy Reid on that.
We don't turn away good players, and he's a good one. So it's exciting to have him around, and we'll see how he does. He's got to get in and get in the playbook and learn everything, but he's a pretty smart kid and been doing it a long time. So I don't think I'll have a problem with that, but I think if you talk to Clyde will sleep well tonight, as I think the other backs will. That one more guy, I don't think any of them will complain there.
I mean, did it just get dark in here? Did you see that? Like, where did that shade come from? We don't turn away good players. Yikes. Ouch. Let's see how he does with the Chiefs. Oh, Phil's upset. No, it's not Phil. It's actually Alex. If you think the Rays are boring, you don't watch baseball at all. No, never. Especially not Yankees Rays. Never watch them at all. Not at all. I know all about them. Yes, they are the one team that does play a little small ball. Yes, they get on the bases and they actually do some things. Totally true. You're absolutely right. But outside of Glasnow, I mean, Blake Snell's a phony. I mean, in big games, when it matters most, phony. Okay, Glasnow is a talent. He's a stud. Other than that, not really excited about the Rays, okay? Just being honest. Like, what do you want me to lie? All right, Alex. I'm sorry, Alex. You're right. It's so much fun to watch baseball. It's just, I can't contain myself. The 30 minutes between every single pitch, like I'm just on the edge of my seat. What's he going to throw next? Let me watch it six times. Please. Dempsey's in the Bronx. Dempsey.
Han Solo. I'm a you guys and Bart especially have made me fall in love with the duo. I've been here since the very beginning, since Han and Humpty Baby. Appreciate so you're my guy, but I'm always a big fan of a Han Solo day.
Thank you, man.
So it is a Han Solo day, so we got to talk the Knicks, right?
Go ahead.
Really quick. I think I've seen on Twitter over the last month, there's about a factions of the Knicks, it's about 50-50. 50% are on board with the CP3 trade and bringing in that and bringing in somebody. And then the other 50% are like, God, no, please keep some depth. Keep the young players. Don't sell. Right. Don't sell like we always do. And I'm on that road. I do not want.
So you don't
want to
sell. All right. So you're all about just continuing to collect draft picks and knowing that your cap space, no one wants to use it. So you're going to give it to players like, you know, what you just had, one plus option types who are just here for the money for a year and then they're going to be gone. Like, you don't really want to go find, you don't want to trade for a player who's already under contract that's actually a top 10 player. You don't want any of that, right?
No. And I did say before that I was a big fan of Fred VanVleet, so I'm not completely against
Fred VanVleet. Why would he? But again, Dempsey, why is, first of all, again, well, you got to understand, a lot of the top players, especially those who are in their first attempt at free agency, they're not coming to the Knicks as the Knicks are currently constructed. They're not.
Look, I agree with
so
you.
So why? Like, what, give me the one reason why Fred VanVleet would pass on a max from Toronto to come to the Knicks.
Well, I heard a lot of different things that I'm not necessarily 100% on the Raptors giving him a max and everything. And all players, all NBA players, in my opinion, you're either going after two things. You're either going after money or you're going after a championship. Mm-hmm. He already got the championship. I know it's a long shot, but I'm looking at, oh, he's got his championship. He's got his ring. I'm sure he wants more. But
I see it. I'm just being Dempsey.
I can see them outbidding them.
If you're Toronto, it doesn't make sense with Lowry as old as he is. Now, Dempsey, I appreciate you.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.